From growing up in Zeeland on Michigan's west side to cooking for scientists at the South Pole, Keith Reimings had a life that is, to say the very least, fascinating. Keith's job as a cook led him to spend a full year at an Antarctic research center, and he turned his experience into a documentary called No Horizon Anymore. Keith Reimings joins us now from Pittsburgh, where he's working these days. Keith, probably just a little warmer in Pittsburgh than when you were in the South Pole, isn't it?
It is a whole lot warmer. I spent a couple of weeks just melting.
Thawing out. So
yeah, thawing out.
We all here had the very same first question, Keith Reimings. How on earth did you wind up cooking at the South Pole?
Well, I finished up film school in New York City back in 2002. And at that time in New York City, there was absolutely nothing going on with the film industry or many other industries. So I packed up and went as far away from New York as I possibly could, which was interior Alaska. I found a job in a kitchen. It was my first job in a kitchen ever. I'd never cooked before. Somebody was, had enough faith in me to hire me. And that kind of led me to, you know, keep cooking and to realize that using cooking as a skill, you can kind of go anywhere, which, you know, I think I've proven by the Alaska and South Pole trips. But I had met somebody in Alaska who worked at the South Pole, and he would spend the summer in Alaska, the summer in Antarctica, the summer in Alaska. So he would just bounce back and forth.
Wow.
And he'd work for 5 months here, and then he'd have a month or 6 weeks to travel, and then he'd go back to work in Alaska, and then had another 6 weeks to travel and go back to work in Antarctica. So it was a very alluring lifestyle, for sure, for somebody who's young and doesn't have any attachments.
So off you went. You got a lead on a job, and you wound up at the South Pole. When did you get there?
I first touched down at the South Pole, I believe it was October 17th of 2008, and I didn't leave again until early November 2009.
Boy, so you had that whole year's cycle. And just to kind of refresh our memory for those of us that are fuzzy in geography, so is it always winter, and is there a spell where flights cannot get in and out and you're basically closed in?
Sure. It is not always winter. There's a summer season. It's warm enough to fly in planes, and it's warm enough to get food. And there's a lot of people that are there working. It's the season to do all the operations that it takes to keep the South Pole going. The summer season will go from October to about early February. And then the winter season is kind of the hardcore season where the majority of people will leave the station. During our winter, we had a total of 43 people, and that was coming from a summer of 300. So we lost a lot of people. And during that time, from the February to early October, again, late October, it's just those 43 people. It's way too cold to fly anything down there. You don't get in or out. You're just stuck there. You're isolated.
And so certainly the dangers exist, and you show that. People talk about that in your documentary, No Horizon Anymore. But I just think of the logistics, the day-to-day. For example, what kind of medical care is available at the South Pole? If someone had a hot appendix, could surgery be done there?
There's a small medical facility, and it's staffed year-round by two doctors. They were there for the summer and the wintertime, and it's a facility where you can stabilize someone. If there's a mass casualty incident, if you get hurt, you can be stabilized. Any sort of major surgeries, any sort of, you know, huge accidents, you're kind of dealing with fate. So when you go down there, you know the risks, and you make that choice personally to go forward with it or to kind of opt out of it.
Oof. Well, now talk to us, Keith Reimings, about the challenges of living with 43 people in close quarters, and there is nowhere to go. No long walks in the wood to blow off steam, no going fishing. You're there. What is that like?
I think the hardest part of that is realizing that you're there with 42 other people that you didn't choose. You know, you have no choice but to take the good and the bad. There was a lot of good. There was some bad. You know, there were people that would go out of their way to give others a hard time. But on the other side of that, there are friends that I made down there that I still talk to every single day. I can only equate it to like spending time on the moon with somebody or maybe going to war with somebody, not to trivialize that experience. Mm-hmm. But it is something that you live with these people and you work with these people and you eat with these people and you play with these people, and they are your people. And if there's an incident, if there's a problem, if something happens, they are the ones that will help you. So whether you liked somebody or not, it's a group of people that you have to rely on. And it takes a while to kind of let that sink in.
I'm speaking with Keith Reimink, who grew up in Zeeland in Michigan and wound up spending a year as a cook at an Antarctic research station. And he turned his experience into a documentary film called No Horizon Anymore. And you had graduated from NYU Film School, but you didn't plan to make a movie, although you took your camera. And did it just become too good a story not to tell?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I had taken my camera with the sole intention of recording the experience for me. You know, I'm not a writer and I'm not a very good public speaker. So my original goal with taking the camera was, well, if I just take a bunch of video, I don't have to tell people, I can show them. And what that turned into was filming every single day, talking to as many people as I could about their work and their life at the South Pole and getting as many stories as I could. And then about a year later, you know, coming off of the ice and relaxing and kind of integrating myself back into the world, looking at some of this footage and saying, wow, I could put something together that could resemble a full-length documentary. And I had no intention of having this film have the success that it's had. It's been wonderful to see people react to it and to know that they're kind of taking away something that I'm giving to them. It's a very fulfilling thing.
No Horizon Anymore, we should mention, was nominated for the Indie Spirit and Artistic Spirit Awards at the New Hope Film Festival in Pennsylvania. Keith, talk to us about the music in your film. It is exquisite.
Sure. The music comes from all local musicians from the West Michigan area. There are artists from Grand Rapids, a lot of artists from Grand Rapids, a band from Kalamazoo, and a gentleman from Holland, Michigan, who I actually went to high school with. So it's been really nice working with these local musicians, because I think that a lot of the local music scenes in cities everywhere, they kind of get overlooked. And my younger brother, Troy, who is a member of the band Ghost Heart, he contacted me quite a while ago when he saw an early version of the film. And, you know, he said that, I think this film is great. I think you have some music issues because I was using popular music. I was using music that I like, that's on my iPod, that is incredibly cost prohibitive when it comes to licensing for a film.
Yes.
And since this is my first project, I didn't really know that. I didn't understand that. And Ghost Heart has always been in the film. They've always had a song that is underneath some of the images of the sunset, which I feel are some of the most striking images of the film. And he said, well, since you have Ghost Heart here, why don't you talk to some of my friends and talk to some of the other bands that are in Grand Rapids and see if they would be willing to give you their music? And once we did that, we just got an outpouring of people that wanted to share their music. I had a hard drive full of MP3s and a desk covered with CDs. And, you know, I think there's six bands and probably 12 or 13 songs in the film. You know, I couldn't use all of them, of course, but it's a great cross-section of some of the instrumental music that's coming out of Grand Rapids and the area. You know, it's cool to be able to bring in some of the artists from my hometown, my home area. I think it's a cool way to kind of include lots of people.
Now, your documentary, No Horizon Anymore, plays around the country. How would people who want to see it be able to find you and find an opportunity to learn what life is like at the South Pole from someone who actually was there living it, didn't just swoop in with a camera? He was there living it for a year. How would we find your documentary?
Currently, the documentary is not available online. I am doing the film festival circuit till the end of the year, and when you talk to film festivals, they don't like you to have films available online. I am talking to people about distribution, but that will been toward the end of December, early January. Currently, there's at least one screening a month between now and the end of the year for No Horizon Anymore, and that ranges from a science festival in London to an Antarctic festival in Germany, to a U.S. college film festival tour on the West Coast. The biggest place that it's going to be playing coming up in September is a documentary festival called Doc Utah. That's a Southern Utah International Documentary Film Festival. And because the state is a really good place to make film connections, you know, with Sundance and Slam Dance and some other big festivals that come out of there. I'm hoping that some good stuff comes from being involved in that festival. So while I don't have any concrete information right now, there's definitely some things in the works that I will keep people posted on.
And do you have any new adventure on the horizon?
I do, actually. I'm currently in pre-production on a documentary on the Israel National Trail, which is a trail that basically cuts directly through Israel. It's a long-distance hiking trail, so you start hiking in the north and you will end in the south. And I think it's something that I've never done before, making a film and hiking, but I've made a film and I've done some long-distance hiking. So they're two things that I really love doing, and I thought it would be a great idea to combine those efforts and see what could come of it.
Keith Rymick, director, producer, cinematographer, and the editor of the documentary film No Horizon Anymore, loaded with Michigan music, Michigan-made music, chronicling the year that he spent as a cook at an Antarctic research center. Keith, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.